radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 11. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
It says he's there, and this Pharisee saw him and marveled that he didn't wash his hands first. Boy, that just sounds like the spirit of our age, doesn't it? If you aren't wearing a mask, can I just tell you, if you've worn the mask for more than an hour, you're doing worse than a surgeon. A surgeon won't even wear one for more than an hour, so you need to get a bunch of masks. And if you're going to wear that mask and you're going to go out, don't touch the mask, because right as soon as you touch the mask, it's done. And you need to understand that the microbes will not be keeping anything out. They won't keep anything out. So they're going to marvel at you in this world. Now, for me, I'll wear a mask sometimes just because somebody else is coming down the aisle and I know they're going to look at me weird and I just want to be a blessing. But for the most part right now, things are falling forward a little bit. And I think I'm able to take my mask off, go right on in, see what they're going to say. Because many of them have gone on record as saying, we're not going to be the mask police. We're going to put the sign up and let it stand. We're not going to call the law to get you. So you do as you feel led. But if we don't push back, they're going to go to COVID-1984. Because you did this for others, and you're going to take a vaccine for others. You're going to take your kids out of school for others. And all, it's all about others. And I say to you, this is a lot like that. They were scolding Jesus in their hearts. How dare he? He's a nasty guy. He's nasty. Why? Because he didn't wash his hands. And he says, listen, in verse 39, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. And that reminds me that in the tribulation, when things will look a lot worse than they do right now, that neither will they repent of their murders. Say abortion in your mind. Murders, adulteries, fornications, and sorcery, all the drug use. They will not repent. Right now, they're seeing a lot. Many people are asking the questions, and they're not repenting. People are not repenting. I'll tell you what, after 9/11, people went to church, right? We remember that. For 2 weeks is all that lasted. Nobody blew in the church when they opened down. I'm on the radio. We don't have that many people coming from the radio audience. They're content to listen on the radio. I'll just stay home. I don't like people. I've been social distancing for 25 years. I'm not about to stop now. That's not it. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm not talking about people who are in that category that are danger zones, okay? Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know the devil likes to ask, what is she saying now? Listen, truth is truth. The children are not a danger. For most of us, we're not in danger. But for those of us who are in danger, we have to be careful. And that's fine, and that's good, and bless you. And I pray God's protection over you. But we are adults. If you've got the flu, don't come to church. If you've got symptoms of COVID, stand down till you're out of the woods. It's the right thing to do. But let's not be pushed into a place of fear. Let's stand with Jesus and say, you clean the outside, but you don't clean the inside. The world's telling us that we're not virtuous because we don't virtue signal, because we're the healthy people. Healthy people are not going to wear the mask. Listen to me. About the masks, when you don't have enough air, your depletion of air is adversely affecting you even if you're not sick. That's why you have two nostrils. That's why the brontosaurus died. He couldn't get enough air back into his lungs, which were all the way down that long neck. You need your oxygen. You need it. They're basically telling you to kill yourself slower. Now, I know that sounds radical, but you look it up. You need your oxygen. And if you have any kind of heart issues, and I had stents put in back in January, I need my oxygen. In fact, I've been enjoying my oxygen since I had my stents put in. I'm not out of breath up here hardly ever. You need your oxygen. In fact, if somebody's really in bad shape in a football team, they put him in a hyperbaric chamber to give him more oxygen so he'll heal quicker. You need your oxygen. So the cases have been made by others. I don't need to make them further now. He says, inside you're full of ravening. Now the word for ravening literally means extortion. That's what they're doing. They're extorting us. They want us to get that vaccine. They want everybody to sign up for it. And vaccines kill people, man. They even have a vaccine court. Because when people get vaccines, they might sue if it kills them. You have to be circumspect and wise and be able to do your own research, and you have to be able to make your call with your eyes wide open. But now we're scared to death to even trust our experts because they're suppressing opposing views. He says, "You fools," verse 40, "did not he that made that which is outside the cup make that also which is within also?" He says, "But rather give alms." Now he's telling them how to get back into the place they need to be. This is a Pharisee. He says, "You need to give alms, not take money." The world in which we live has charged some churches with being all about money. And sometimes it is. I remember as a young boy going to different churches thinking, where will I go to church? I went to one, and when I was there, I only went there because many of my friends got saved and they went there. And I thought, well, this is good. Look at all these people. This is wonderful. And one morning, and I didn't have any money, but he said, "If you're really in love with Jesus and you're going to give $100 right now, will you stand? We need $100 right now to build our thing out here on this hill." All these people stood. Oh, this isn't right. I even had a dream about it later. I saw him up there dancing, playing the piano. I literally remember this dream. And then on the other side, he was just a charlatan. I didn't get it yet. So I went back a few more times and I went forward and I said, "Hey, I got this guy at work. He's telling me I need to get my hair cut to be saved." And I'd been saved for a number of months now. And I'm at the prayer line at the front. And I said, "He told me I need to get my hair cut or I can't be saved." That preacher told me to tell that guy at work to go straight to you know where. He told me at the prayer altar, "You tell him to go there." Well, I thought, well, I read somewhere, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. I didn't go back anymore. I realized that was not a man of God. I'm telling you guys, this is the world we live in, and these guys needed to give alms. They needed to take money. The Bible actually says that we're supposed to work with our hands that we might be able to give to them that have need. But him who stole, steal no more. They're stealing. So he's saying, work with your hands, give alms. You need to quit taking everybody's money. Quit extorting the widows. You remember him talking about that. Verse 41, he says, "Give alms, and behold, all things will be clean unto you." Did you hear that? That's just a powerful word. Everything will be clean unto you. If you just do the basically right thing, stop taking people's money away from them when it's not yours to take. Stop doing things that are wrong and start doing things that are right. And all things are then clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees. Why? Because you pass over judgment. You tithe of mint and of cumin and you pass over judgment. He says you ought to have done the other. Just equal time for me, I believe, the Bible teaches, and here it is borne up, that we should tithe. But you don't go pushing people to give, give, give. You don't twist people's arms. If God doesn't give people a heart to give, that's between them and God. But we do have a word on it. He says, you ought to have done the one, not left the other undone. You need to have good judgment. He says, woe unto you, Pharisees, verse 43. He says, you love the uppermost seats. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, verse 42. You're as graves which appear not. In other words, what he's saying, there's graves and people are walking over them and they don't even know they're walking over them. Do you know it ought to never be said of a Christian that they don't know you're a Christian where you are in your workplace and, you know, you're routinely at? You and I need to be real deal Christians enough to where people never walk over us where they have an interaction with us if they don't sense something different. Have you ever been there where you talk to somebody for about 20 minutes or 15 or whatever and you think, something about him, I think he might be a believer. I've had that, and sometimes I've had a thing where I thought, I think they would be a believer if they didn't know. It's just the Lord's goodness still got their hearts tender. He says in verse 45, that the lawyers said unto him, "Master, you're kind of stepping on our toes too." They objected to that. And he said, "Woe unto you, lawyers!" He says, "You lay heavy burdens on men, grievous." Now, I want to make the distinction for you. Scribes were typically those who knew about the law a lot because they were writing it. They were copying copies. They didn't have Xerox machines. They just wrote how many letters from corner to corner, and they made sure they got good copies. Scribes would know the Bible very well because they would become very familiar with it and trapping in it like that so much. But lawyers were people who were like university teachers. These were people who knew the law. It wasn't about legal stuff. It was about the law. And they were teachers. And he says this. He says, you lawyers, you laden men with burdens that they can't take. He says in verse 47, you build sepulchres of the prophets and your fathers killed them. And truly, you now bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers. Why is he saying that? Because they're constantly trying to catch him. He says, you're going to try to kill me. I know who you are. You hate what I represent. You hate my father. You hate me. I'm here with the finger of God casting out demons. And you're mocking. You're chiding. He says, therefore, in verse 49, also said the wisdom of God. We've talked about the Spirit of God, the finger of God, now the wisdom of God. This is all about what God says in His Word. And the Word is dynamically connected with the Spirit. And He's saying, therefore, thus saith the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Did you see how He just threw that over to the apostles? Some of you guys are going to die. He just gave them a little telegraphing. You know what? In Christianity, some of us are going to be persecuted more than others. Some of us are going to have afflictions on this earth, and we're going to have to bear a different kind of a burden from cradle to grave or from here to home, however you want to say it. Reality is that some of us have a different path to tread. Some of it great loneliness, some of it great hardship, some of it great loss. But you'll find if you'll just keep the counts current, keep yourself in the prayer closets, get your counts current, all that, you'll find He's enough. He'll get you through. He'll show you more. He'll give you what you need. And He'll carry you if necessary. He says they're going to put Him to death. That the blood, in verse 50, of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. It shall be required of this generation, verse 51. And that's why the judicial blindness happened to Israel, because they rejected Him they should have been expecting. Who's He talking to? The university professors, the ones who should have known more than anybody else, the ones who were teaching others. He says in verse 52, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Jesus is the key of knowledge. And you and I have Him. We have His Word. We have archaeology. We have history. We look back. We see it. And yet, are we saying, Lord, teach us to pray? Because we know the dearth of our own barren souls at times. And we need to know how to pray. And He just did. He said, you're going to have all things clean to you if you'll just do the basics. He says, listen, just get the impediments out of the way. Be a light as I've asked you to be. Do what is singularly placed upon you as your call. Verse 53, he says, and as he said these things, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, to provoke him to speak of many things. They were just battering him with questions, trying to find something. Get him, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. It's a good chapter. Key of knowledge, Spirit of God, finger of God, wisdom of God. Spirit is the key. And when He left this earth, He made provision for you and for me. When He left this earth, He brought us to a place where we could have His blessing in the day to day. He sent His Spirit into this world and He made Him available, and He told us that He would do that. He told us that He would do that. I want to ask you right now, if you're a child of God, do you feel your heart yearning for something more of Him? That's a good thing. Do you wish you did? That's a good thing if you know that. Just don't give that desire up. Follow that thread. There is great treasure to be found on the other end of that. Don't let anybody be Jesus for you but Jesus. Don't let any human, don't let any leader, don't let any spouse or child or work or job or thing or stuff. Don't let any of it get in the way. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, we with unveiled face behold as through a glass darkly the image of Christ, and are therefore changed into the same image, even as by one Spirit. If we'll stay glued to His image in our minds through the Word of God, through the service to God, we will find ourselves being changed. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.